It is time for the JMRA Podcast, a special playoff edition of the JMRA Podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, here to bring you podcasting fun involving the NFL, and we will cover Wild Card Weekend. So, since the venerable National Football League decided this week, and I believe this is the first time, at least since I've been watching and following the NFL, that they are splitting the Wild Card Weekend up in a way where the AFC and NFC games are being played on the same day. So you have the AFC slate on Saturday and the NFC slate on Sunday. That's how we will take a look at the Wild Card game. So the first part of this podcast will be the AFC matchups and an overall look at the AFC, while part two of this podcast will be a look at the NFC Wild Card round and the NFC playoffs as a whole. Let's give you the social media rundown. On Twitter, at Joe M's Right Arm. You can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. Plus, Vine, and also Facebook, all kinds of good stuff headed your way here in terms of social media. It's going to be a busy next few days involving the NFL playoffs, so we will do our best to get as much content out there to you as possible involving the NFL and the playoffs. It is going to be, I think, at least I'm excited for these playoffs this time around. Not that I haven't in previous years, but depending on the playoff field that you get, like last year, you knew going in that it was probably going to be three of the four left, New England, Seattle, and Green Bay, in all likelihood. And then the fourth team you thought was going to be Denver, it ended up being Indianapolis. So you get three of what looked like was a layup for the final four. And then from there, you get a great Super Bowl between Seattle and New England, which I thought was obviously a fantastic game and one of the greatest Super Bowls of all time. This year has a different feel in the postseason to me because I don't know whether we are in that state of the NFL right now where the ones out of each conference are that good to produce the kind of game we saw last year. I don't think that's the case. I think this year it's a little bit of a toss-up. I think going in right now, if you're an Arizona Cardinals fan, I think you have to feel pretty good about your team's chances to win the Super Bowl. I think you should feel confident. I don't, by no means is it a lock. I think if you're Carolina also, if you're a fan of theirs, I think you should feel pretty good about your team's chance to get to the Super Bowl and maybe win a Super Bowl. On the other side of the AFC, man, I don't remember the AFC being this wide open. It's really crazy. I think you can make a case clearly for New England, health pending, offensive line play pending. You can make a case for Denver. I think you could make a case if something happens and Andy Dalton comes back. I think you make a case for Cincinnati, albeit not a strong one. Maybe Kansas City, maybe Pittsburgh. I think the only team here in the postseason that we're going to talk about that I think really, I don't want to say they have no business in the playoffs, but really is a little in over their heads in terms of what their overall personnel set is, I think it's Houston. Houston, they have some personnel issues, which we'll get to in a second. I don't think they're a bad team. I actually think they have a chance to win the game on Saturday against Kansas City. But I think if you're looking at the overall scheme of things, I cannot imagine any scenario in which they would win three games to get to the Super Bowl. That would be crazy. So the AFC, I think, is going to be a ton of fun. We'll give you the rundown on the AFC as a whole right after we go through the playoff preview here for the wild card round. Now, again, just to recap what we mentioned earlier, what we're going to do is go over the AFC games, the Saturday games first, and then from there we'll attack the NFC in part two of this podcast. So let's start off with some news and notes to get going before we jump in to the games. Now, caveat for postseason play, the Denver Broncos came out today, and I was actually surprised they came out this early and announced this, but hey, what are you going to do? The Broncos will send out Peyton Manning to start at quarterback in the divisional round of the AFC playoffs. They are playing the final game of divisional playoff round action on Sunday, the 17th of January. Their start time right around, I believe, 4:40 on January the 17th, Eastern time, of course, as the Broncos will play either Pittsburgh, who is the sixth seed in the AFC, if Pittsburgh wins, they will automatically go see the Denver Broncos, or the Broncos could see the Houston Texans or the Kansas City Chiefs. So again, they will play either Pittsburgh or the winner of Houston and Kansas City. Now, as it relates to whether or not this is a good idea, I think this is a tough call, but I think it's the right call. You can't take the chance, if you're the Broncos, that Peyton Manning, look, he's not, I don't think there's any way, he's not 100%. Okay, let's dispel that right now. I don't think he's 100%. I think it will be a while before he's 100%. He may never be 100% ever again. But I think a couple of things from the Broncos that you have to look at. Number one, the best game, or one of the best games that Peyton Manning played all year, was out of a bye week against the Green Bay Packers, where Denver just beat up the Green Bay Packers at home on Sunday Night Football. So I think you have to take into account that. It's a bye week. You get him fresh after you get him a little run time in the season finale against San Diego. He played a big factor in them winning. So you get him some exposure in that last game. You give him a breather, and then he can come back full bore, whatever it is he's going to do here in a couple of weeks. And then from there, I think, you know, you turn it over to the AFC Championship game. And that, to me, is what you have to think about here if you're the Broncos, okay? Clearly, you think that you could beat Houston, one would think, or Kansas City. I think the matchup, if I'm Denver, the two teams I don't want to see, I don't want to see Kansas City, because they already went to Denver and won there, so you know they can do it, and they have kind of that game plan that could kind of, you know, not put Alex Smith at great danger of that pass rush. And then Pittsburgh can come in and flat out outscore anybody when they are on. And I think that'll be the big question mark for Pittsburgh if they do play that game at Denver. Can they flip the switch for a second straight week on the road? So I think if you're Denver, okay, you would have to like your chances with arrested Peyton Manning and that defense at home against whoever you see in round two. The big issue is going to be the AFC Championship game. And I'm telling you right now, okay, I don't care what happened in that first game. If the Patriots are even remotely close to 100%, I think the Broncos maybe feel that Brock Osweiler is not the guy to get that done against the Patriots. That to me is what I would think if I'm in the Broncos front office. Okay, I'm looking at, if I have to play New England on January the 24th, 3 p.m. Eastern time, okay, do I want Brock Osweiler or some version of Peyton Manning under center? Okay, and it's pretty simple. Super Bowl 18 highlight film. John Facenda said it. Setting up a run by John Riggins on 4th and inches, Redskins versus Raiders. And he uttered the phrase used by John Wayne once, might as well die with your boots on. And that, to me, is what the Broncos got to do here. They have to, if they get to the AFC Championship game and you're playing the Patriots, it's got to be Peyton Manning, folks. Got to be. Cannot be anybody else. He's already beaten the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. You know Belichick is not going to go for that okey-doke the second time around against Osweiler, you know, with the snow and all this crazy stuff. It's you've got to put him out there. Now, here's the problem from the Denver side. I think the issue, like I said, is going to be that second game, the AFC title game. Because if Manning can't give you Peyton Manning tour de force, the usual guy you see in that second week, if he kind of hits that wall, which you see a lot of times with teams will come out strong after that bye week in the divisional round at home, and then the next week it levels off because A, you're playing a better team, and B, all that fervor and all that energy you had in the previous round has kind of dissipated. I don't know if old man zombie Peyton Manning can win the AFC Championship game. I think that's the issue. If you win that, great. You're on to the Super Bowl, and then who knows what happens. Then it's a 50-50 ball game. You get him another week of rest, and then you can see what happens. But, man, I think if you're Denver, you got to hope that he can get you to the Super Bowl. That's it. I don't think Brock Osweiler has shown you enough to where you can be comfortable with him starting that round two game. Because then if you pull him, you can't get in that. You can't get in that pull, put guy in. And you can't have a quarterback controversy during the playoffs. It's really dumb. So I think the Broncos are doing the right thing by putting Peyton Manning in. Is that going to get them to the Super Bowl? I don't know. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But some interesting stuff out of Denver on that. And we'll see if it works. I think there's a chance it could work. I think there's a chance, too, it could totally backfire significantly as soon as next week. So one of the issues with next week is the Broncos don't know who they're playing yet. And that's why we are going to move on to the AFC playoff preview. Up first, Saturday, 4:35, it is Kansas City, the number 5 seed in the AFC, taking on the AFC South champion Houston Texans, who, well, at one point, Houston looked like a college football team rather than an actual NFL team, but alas, the Texans seized control of the AFC South away from that quivering mess of humanity in Indianapolis, what was left of the Colts. Ugh, that was bad. And it's amazing that Chuck Pagano kept his job after all that, but that's another story for another day. Anyhow, Texans, Chiefs, Saturday in Houston should be a great contest. Kansas City looking for their first playoff win since 1993. They have not won it. Now, see, people forget about this. They had buys in given years. They had a buy in 1997. They had a buy in 95. They also had a buy in 2003. Lost to Manning in 97 when they had the buy. They lost to the Broncos and John Elway. In 95, when they had the buy, they lost to Jim Harbaugh and the Colts, all at home. So when they had the buys, they didn't even win a playoff game. They obviously had the playoff a buy due to their success during the regular season. They have not won a playoff game since January of 1994. It was the 93 season, but January of 1994 was the last time that the Chiefs won a playoff game. It was at Houston in the Astrodome. That's how long ago it was. It was when the Oilers were playing in the Houston Astrodome. That's the last time the Chiefs won a playoff game. So obviously that's the last time they've won a road playoff game as well. Couple of interesting notes about Alex Smith. Alex Smith coming in, 9 touchdown passes, no interceptions to start his postseason career. So he's actually played pretty well in the playoffs so far. Of course, the last time the Chiefs were in the playoffs was that horrific collapse at Indianapolis when they were up by what seemed like a billion points and ended up getting clipped at the wire there by Andrew Luck and the Colts. So they fall in Indianapolis a couple of seasons ago. Now back to try to grab a playoff victory. Smith also has 114 consecutive pass attempts without an interception in the playoffs. You're wondering, what does this have to do with anything? What does this have to do, this previous history, have to do with what we'll see on Saturday? That's going to be very important because that is clearly one of the keys to the game. The Houston pass rush has got to get to Alex Smith. Now, clearly, Kansas City is not a team that is going to sit back there and throw 35, 40 times. But these two teams met in September, and it was a lot of, you know, usual Kansas City stuff. 243 yards passing, 3 touchdowns thrown by Alex Smith. Travis Kelce, the big tight end, had over 100 yards receiving, had a couple of touchdowns also, I believe, in the contest. It was a controlled passing game, not a lot of big chances downfield, but Kansas City moved the ball through the air. And also, I think, too, Kansas City, they're going to try to attack you with that running game, Spencer Ware, Sharkhandrick West. If they can do that, they're going to have success, but Houston's front 7 has got to play well. J.J. Watt, clearly one of the key guys there as well. Whitney Mercilus has had a very good year so far for the Texans, so they'll be looking at him as well to produce. Jadeveon Clowney had some injury issues. We'll see how big of a factor, if he's a factor at all, on Saturday. So if those guys can really hem down and put some pressure on that Kansas City offense, that's going to give the Texans a shot, because I think one of the big problems in this game from the Houston side is the fact that Brian Hoyer and that Texans offense, I don't know if this is a playoff offense. They have some guys who are clearly primetime players. DeAndre Hopkins, clearly a stud at the wide receiver position. But outside of that, there's not a lot on that Houston offense that scares me. I think that if you're Houston, it's about making plays downfield in the passing game because you don't have much of a rushing attack, okay? And that, to me, is one of the problems also for the Texans against the Chiefs. Can the Chiefs make them one-dimensional? And what's going to happen if the Chiefs and that secondary, and if they use Marcus Peters to take out DeAndre Hopkins, and if they can do that, what's the counter for Houston? And that, to me, is one of the issues in this game. I think Kansas City is... they're not an explosive offense, but I think there are enough moving parts there in Kansas City to where they can actually come up with different ways to move the football effectively than Houston can. Brian Hoyer has been very up and down this season, so I'm not sure he's going to be able to get enough out of an offense that, you know, you got to remember, number one, no Arian Foster. He's been gone for essentially not the whole season, but a large majority of the season, battling injuries, and he just never got comfortable, and that rushing attack never really found its groove during the course of the season. So I think clearly if they can generate a rushing attack that'll help him against the Chiefs defense that will play, that has played well, especially during this 10-game winning streak. Remember, the Chiefs started 1-5 and got some big help from their defense and obviously the play of Alex Smith and that Chiefs offense as well to kind of restore matters despite the injuries to Jamal Charles and also really some devastating losses too and a tough schedule to start out. So, you know, if you're Houston, you've got to find a way to play better football and match up than you did the first time around. Houston was 3 of 14 on third downs against the Chiefs in that opening Sunday loss to the Chiefs in Houston. So they've got to play better there on third down. So does Kansas City. They didn't knock it dead either on third down conversion. So both of these teams, I think, have a lot of room for improvement from the first meeting that was a 27-20 Chiefs win earlier this year. So it'll be a fun game, I think, but clearly the personnel issues for that Houston offense, that's why I really don't feel comfortable picking the Texans in this game. I like the Chiefs about 23-17. I think the Texans will be able to keep it close, but I think they just, Kansas City, have another playmaker or two. They have a few other answers on offense and ways to move the ball than Houston does. And, you know, that Houston in the offseason is going to have to find a way to find some complementary pieces for that offense because they just don't have it right now. This is a nice team. I think one day, maybe, if they can catch up with that defense, you could have really a strong contending team in the AFC. But right now, I just don't see it. This, to me, they're a playoff team because of the division they're in, not because they're actually a good football team. All right? I think that's the deal with the Houston Texans. I think they're a nice squad, but you look at that division they played in, they took advantage of a terrible division, and they took advantage of all of the misfortune that befell the Indianapolis Colts. And alas, I think that's what's going to happen. Coming out of it, I think there's going to be too much pressure there. Obviously, if Justin Houston is back for Kansas City the way that he, in a way that he can produce effectively, then that's going to add to even more problems for Houston. So the pass rush of the Chiefs creating some issues for Houston and Houston not having enough playmakers. I look for the Chiefs to grab the win over the Texans on Saturday. Moving on to game number two, the Steelers and the Bengals in Cincinnati. This is a nightcap. Now, pay attention, everybody. A broadcasting change here, sort of. Typically, during the Sunday night football era of NBC, NBC's had the Saturday night game in wild card weekend. This year, they don't. It is CBS who has the Saturday night game for the AFC this time around, as it will be Cincinnati hosting the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is the first time these two teams have met in the playoffs since that infamous game back in 2006, where Kimo von Olfen fell into the leg of Carson Palmer, tearing his ACL on Palmer's first completion of the day was that long bomb. I believe it was the first play of the game, 60-plus yarder to Chris Henry, suffering that knee injury, tore his ACL. And that essentially was the end of the line for Carson Palmer in Cincinnati. He came back and he played for the Bengals, but he was never the same after that for Cincinnati before eventually, you know, going to the Raiders and then eventually finding himself in Arizona. And clearly he will be a part of our discussion here on the podcast soon, coming up in the upcoming weeks and days as the Cardinals get ready for postseason action in the NFC starting next week. As it relates to what's going on in current day between the Steelers and the Bengals, it's really a shame because for so long this year in the AFC, this was a three-team race. It was New England, it was Denver, and it was Cincinnati. Now, it's Denver, what's left of New England, and that's it. Well, maybe Pittsburgh. You can throw them in there as maybe the third team, and you can also, I guess you have to throw Kansas City in there a little bit since they've won, heck, they've won 10 games in a row. How can you leave them out of the discussion? So that leaves a Cincinnati team that has some very good talent. And, you know, this is the weird thing about these two games on Saturday. Obviously, there is a theme that's being set up that the road teams are going to come in this weekend and, by and large, with the exception of a game here or there, clean house. If you told me at the end of Saturday, okay, at about 11:45 Saturday night, that the winners of the games are Houston and Cincinnati, I would be surprised, but I wouldn't be wildly shocked because there's some good personnel on the side of Houston, and there's some good personnel definitely on the side of Cincinnati. And in fact, if Andy Dalton was actually healthy and not gotten hurt at any point, then this was an actual game, I would like the Bengals in this game because I think they have, man for man, they might be a better team than the Pittsburgh Steelers. But but there are a couple of mitigating factors that I think really hurt the Bengals going into this one. Clearly the injury to Andy Dalton is a major problem for the Cincinnati Bengals, and to me, that leads you to the significant storyline in this game. Can Pittsburgh make this an up-tempo affair? I think if you're the Bengals, that's what you're trying to avoid. You have to have a patient offensive attack and really look to move the ball with short passing game and rushing the and take your shots downfield clearly with A.J. Green and, you know, the intermediate stuff with Tyler Eifert. But you've got to be able to run the football effectively and try to limit the effectiveness and the explosiveness of Pittsburgh once that defense gets out on the field. Two very different games this year when Cincinnati and Pittsburgh played each other. The game in Pittsburgh, low-scoring contest, 16-10 ball game in favor of Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, second time, high-scoring affair, but really got jilted a lot because of the injury to Andy Dalton. So, you know, you look at that contest, and it's hard to use that as a clean template, as a clean look into what's going to happen on Saturday night between these two teams. I think, look, A.J. McCarron has to move the football, like I said, in a patient and effective game manager-esque fashion. And to me, that's the way it has to be done, because if this turns into a shootout, it's going to be a mess. The Bengals have done relatively well at times against Antonio Brown this season, but you've got to deal with all three receivers when you deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you have Marcus Wheaton, Martavis Bryant, and obviously Antonio Brown, and clearly, you know, Heath Miller's a security blanket, so a lot of weapons for this Pittsburgh Steeler team. And the issue for Pittsburgh is D'Angelo Williams. Will he be 100%? That's a hovering storyline over the Pittsburgh offense heading in. And the real wild card, I think, heading into this game is who can win that matchup. You look at the Pittsburgh defense versus A.J. McCarron. Which one of those two parties can come out ahead? Pittsburgh's defense is not very good. It is a defense, I think, that obviously is susceptible to the pass, susceptible to the deep pass. You can hurt him downfield. they're okay rushing the passer. They've done a far better job rushing the passer this year than they have in previous seasons. And this is a little bit, it's not quite what we saw in 2005 and 2008 and 2010 when they were going to Super Bowls, but it's better. It's better than what we've seen the last couple of years from the Pittsburgh defense. So I think that's a good sign, and they have to translate that into play against A.J. McCarron, who, you know, look, I think McCarron has a chance to be a decent quarterback, but this is a tough spot for him. Playoffs against a team and a coach and a quarterback that have playoff experience, and they are going to, I think, figure out a way to kind of translate that throughout the team and make sure the team has enough confidence to play and feel confident to play well on Saturday against the Bengals. I like Cincinnati to give it a go in this one, but I think Pittsburgh gets the win. Pittsburgh and Seattle, that was my preseason pick for the Super Bowl. I don't know if that's happening right now because of some stuff going on the other side of the slate in the NFC, but I think clearly, you know, Pittsburgh has a chance to make the run in the playoffs. Pittsburgh is, you know, they're the hot team right now. A lot of people are picking them to make the run to the Super Bowl. Look, it sounds good in theory and in practice. I don't know if they have the mental wherewithal. As we've seen, look, this is a team that lost to Baltimore and Ryan Mallett a few weeks ago. So I'm a little bit worried about their aspirations to go to the Super Bowl. So we'll see about all that. But it's a team that has the offensive weaponry to do it. The question is, can they win three straight road games? And they would potentially have to beat, you know, no offense to A.J. McCarron, great, but they'd have to beat Manning and then Brady potentially in back-to-back weeks. And, you know, that was far more of a daunting task 6 years ago than it is today. It's at least, you go from mission impossible to mission like, it's not impossible. It's tough, but we might be able to do it. It's one of those deals. I don't know that they can because, like I said, the defense has some issues, and Mike Tomlin goes brain dead at key moments during games. So I think that would be a concerning factor if I were a Steeler fan. So, you know, they have a chance, and a lot of it's going to come down to how much they get out of that defense. And I think they'll get enough on Saturday against the Bengals to grab a victory. I'm going to say 24-20, the Steelers get it done in Cincinnati, and the Bengals still looking for that first playoff win since, geez, I think January of 1991. It's been that long since the Bengals won a playoff game. Now, as far as the rest of the AFC goes, if those games hold serve as far as the road teams winning, you would get the next week, Kansas City at New England on Saturday, and then Sunday would be Pittsburgh at Denver. Clearly, okay, regardless of how these matchups come out in the wash, whether it's Houston at New England or whether it's Cincinnati at New England, I think if you're the Patriots, we'll start with them first. Julian Edelman coming back is not going to fix everything. Danny Amendola coming back is not going to fix everything. Sebastian Vollmer coming back, that'll help. But it comes down to this for the Patriots, okay? When everybody's healthy, I think the Patriots are the best team in the AFC. But I just don't know how they can fix that offensive line between now and January the 24th for the AFC title game. I think that's going to be very, very tough to do. Can they do it? Absolutely. I'm not saying they can't, but it's hard to see them going from what we saw against Miami last week where they couldn't block anybody. Their blocking effort against Miami last week was deplorable. It was terrible. We've seen teams go through these transformations from the end of the year to the playoffs, and they look like two different teams. But, man, I don't know if that's going to be a Super Bowl-ready offensive line that comes out of out of, on the field at Gillette Stadium next week. I think they'll win against whoever they play next weekend. But when you talk about the Patriots going back to the Super Bowl and winning a fifth Super Bowl, the offensive line has got to play better, has got to play better. Because if they play better and they get that offense going close to what it was, then, yeah, they're going to be tough to beat in the AFC, even if they have to go to Denver for the AFC championship game. But if they can't block it up, not only are they not going to win the AFC, it's going to be hard for them to get out of that round next weekend, because you're likely going to see a team in Kansas City that can rush the passer. And obviously, the last time Kansas City saw New England, we all know how that game ended. It ended with Tom Brady sitting on a bench in Kansas City with his head down and Jimmy Garoppolo in the game. I'm not saying that'll happen, but obviously the Chiefs would feel, I would think, going in kind of confident that they can at least slow down New England. If it's Houston, they just saw the Patriots. I think they know they can rush the passer effectively, rush Brady effectively. They've had some trouble, obviously, against New England. They have not really been able to get it done from the defensive side against them, but I think they'd have some confidence going in, thinking that they can take advantage of this battered offensive line. And then, you know, from there, Cincinnati, same thing. They have the personnel, too, I think, to give the Patriots a hard time if the Patriots are not on their game next week. So a lot of interesting stuff going on with New England. We'll check back in with them when we get to the divisional round preview next week. As for the Broncos, we talked about the Peyton Manning issue. That's a home run area of concern for me from the Denver side. The other thing, too, is defensively, you know, we've seen the Broncos kind of give you blah efforts over the last couple of years in the playoffs. Okay, after good regular seasons. 2012, good. Terrible against Baltimore. 2013, good. Regular season. Pretty decent against San Diego. Pretty good against New England in the AFC title game. And then it was just everybody sucked against the Seahawks during the Super Bowl. And then last year, it looked like they didn't care. So it's the Denver defense, I think this is just as important of a statement for them as it is for Peyton Manning and the offense. Because to me, if the defense doesn't come ready to play, it's not going to matter what Peyton Manning does. Peyton Manning can sit here and turn water into wine or whatever it is many people think he does. If the defense doesn't come ready to play, it's not going to matter. So a lot of pressure on the Denver defense, I think, in a couple of weeks, especially if they see Pittsburgh next week and the 1,800 yards and over 130 receptions from Antonio Brown trotting in to the Mile High City next Sunday. That'll do it for the JMRA podcast and round one, part one of our playoff preview of the wild card round. It will be time to check out the NFC coming up in just a bit. Until then, we'll remind you the social media rundown in case you care nothing about the National Football Conference at all and just want to skip to next week. The social media rundown is as such: on the blog at joemontanasrightarm.com, on Twitter at joemsrightarm, on Facebook by searching Joe Montana's Right Arm. Until part two, happy football, everybody.